morning, everyone. What a great way to start the morning together, right? We are so glad that you are here today with us as we celebrate Christ's victory over death. Today is a special day, isn't it? We can celebrate, and we can celebrate together. Would you please stand? We can stand in confidence because we know that through Christ, we are more than conquerors. When my hope and strength is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You are the life, you are the fight that's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, we are so in love this morning. We are so in love with you. We are so in love with someone who would go through such pain, such agony, trial and misery, separated from your own Father for a while, in order that we can have new life and a fresh start and eternal life. Who loves someone like that? Only you. Only you. We are grateful beyond imagination. We are eternally grateful. Lord Jesus Christ, we love you. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. We are so glad you joined us on this Easter Sunday morning. Hey, we want to remind you, we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. Every Sunday is about the resurrection. But just like your birthday, we celebrate your existence all the time. But there's that one day a year that we pull out the cake and presents and we say, hey, we love you. This is your day. This is Christ's day. This is the day to be able to say the resurrection truly makes a difference in all of our lives. And we're glad that you accepted an invitation or you just came along today in order to share it with us. As you walked in, you got a folder, and on the inside there's a card. And we want you to know about that. Sometime during the service, go ahead and fill out whatever you want on there. Both the front and the back, there's address side and whatever, that kind of information on the front. On the back, there's a place for prayer requests and, you know, just things that you want to relay. So that's there for you. If it's your first time, what we'd love for you to do is keep that until the end of the service and then bring it to the door. When you do, we have a gift for you. I know sometimes, you know, people ask for your address. You're like, what are you going to do with it? Why do you want my information? Don't worry. We're not coming to your house this afternoon and crashing your meal or anything like that. You don't have to worry about that. Mostly, we just want the chance to be able to pray for you. And we really believe that God hears our prayers and answers our prayers. So if you do that, we would really be grateful. This morning, we are talking about the most significant event in human history, the death, burial, and ultimately the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we think it's really important on this particular day that we hear the story again. And maybe for you, it's the thousandth time you've heard it. Maybe for you, it's the first time you've heard it. But we want you to hear from an eyewitness, a man who was there at the death. He was there at the resurrection. He ran into the tomb. He saw the empty tomb. He's an eyewitness. And it's really important that we have that. So we're going to hear from the Apostle John, from John chapter 20. And then there are going to be some other videos along the way throughout the message that are just going to, throughout the service, that are just going to reinforce again the message of Easter. So keep your ears and heart open as you listen today to what Jesus so willingly did for you.
Very early Sunday morning, before sunrise, Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb. And when she arrived, she discovered that the stone that sealed the entrance to the tomb was moved away. So she went running as fast as she could to go tell Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She told them, "They've taken the Lord's body from the tomb, and I don't know where he is." Then Peter and the other disciple jumped up and ran to the tomb to go see for themselves. They started out together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He didn't enter the tomb, but peeked in and saw only linen cloths lying there. Then Peter came behind him and went right into the tomb. He too noticed the linen cloths lying there, but the burial cloth that had been on Jesus' head had been rolled up and placed separate from the other cloths. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first went in, and after one look, he believed. For until then, they hadn't understood what the scriptures had prophesied, that he was destined to rise from the dead. Puzzled, Peter and the other disciple then left and went back to their homes. Mary arrived at the tomb, broken and sobbing. She stooped to peer inside, and through her tears, she saw two angels in dazzling white robes sitting where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the feet. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" they asked. Mary answered, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Then she turned around to leave, and there was Jesus standing in front of her. But she didn't realize at first that it was him. He said to her, "Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Mary answered, thinking it was only the gardener, "Sir, if you have taken his body somewhere else, tell me, and I will go and..." "Mary," he interrupted her. Turning to face him, she said, "Rabboni." Jesus cautioned her, "Mary, don't hold on to me for now, for I haven't yet ascended to God, my Father. And he's not only my Father and God, but now he's your Father and your God. Now go to my brothers and tell them what I've told you, that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Then Mary Magdalene left to inform the disciples of her encounter with Jesus. I have seen the Lord, she told them, and she gave them his message. That evening, the disciples gathered together, and because they were afraid of the reprisals from the Jewish leaders, they locked the doors to the place where they met. But suddenly, Jesus appeared among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them the wounds of his hands and of his side. They were overjoyed to see the Lord with their own eyes. Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you." And he told them, "Just as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you." Then, taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. I send you to preach the forgiveness of sins, and the people's sins will be forgiven. But if you don't proclaim the forgiveness of their sins, then they will remain guilty." One of the 12 wasn't present when Jesus appeared to them. It was Thomas, whose nickname was the Twin. So the disciples informed him, "We have seen the Lord with our own eyes." Still unconvinced, Thomas replied, "There's no way I'm going to believe this unless I personally touch the wound of the nails in his hands, touch them with my finger, and put my hand into the wound of his side where he was pierced." 8 days later, Thomas and all the others were in a house together. And even though all the doors were locked, Jesus suddenly manifested before them. "Peace to you," he said. Then, looking into Thomas's eyes, he said, "Put your finger here in the wounds of my hands. Here, put your hand in the wound of my side and see for yourself. Thomas, don't give in to your doubts any longer. Just believe." Then the word spilled out of his heart. "You are my Lord and you are my God." Jesus responded, "Thomas, now that you have seen me, you believe. But there are those who have never seen me with their eyes, but have believed in me with their hearts, and they will be blessed even more." Jesus went on to do many miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not even included in this book. But all that is recorded here is so that you will fully believe that Jesus is the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you will experience eternal life by the power of his name.
Let me tell you a story. You may not believe me, I barely believe it myself, but I can't dispute what my soul knows.
Peter! John!
It's all true.
Come see this.
Everything he said.
The tomb.
Every impossible detail.
It's empty.
It's all true. There may be days when we deny.
I don't know him.
When our faith loses its footing.
You have me confused. I don't know him.
And we stumble along our way.
I said I don't know him!
day comes. May we remember. What has been found? What has been defeated? What has been forgiven? What was once dead has new life. What was once old has been made new. What was once finite has been made eternal. May we remember and follow the risen way.
Would you please stand?
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection.
Well, this morning we have a new song to sing together, and we're really excited about that. But first I want to read what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6. We know that our old selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with song. A deliverance from my enemies to all my fears again. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Child of God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for what was done for us. Lord, we thank you that Jesus Christ died on that cross in place of us. We thank you that we've been released from those bonds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
My name is Thomas, and I struggle with doubt. I followed Jesus for years, from the very first day he called me. I saw things so amazing they defied explanation. I believed. But then things fell apart. I witnessed the betrayal that led to the cruel march to Calvary and his agonizing crucifixion. I survived, but everyone I knew scattered. My world collapsed. Then came news of the empty tomb, the very first Easter. But I resisted. The image of his broken, lifeless body was still burned into my memory. I experienced his death. Then I couldn't believe. Not until I see the scars with my own eyes and touch them with my own hands, I told the others. I wasn't ready to put my trust in something again. But Jesus came to me. He knew my doubts. He even named them. But he wasn't angry. He didn't rebuke me or dismiss me. He looked at me with those familiar eyes and offered me his scarred hands and side. In that moment, I experienced his resurrection, and I believed. I know firsthand it's difficult to believe in what you can't see. And yet all around you are people whose lives and stories have scars that bear witness to the meaning of Easter. Yes, these people have been wounded, but they've experienced redemption and healing through Jesus. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection were meant to rescue the doubters, the debtors, and the broken. People like you and me. He met my doubts with grace and love, and he only asked one thing of me. Believe.
Let's pray together. In the next few moments, God, we pray that your Spirit would open our ears in ways that they're not normally open, and would soften our hearts and make them receptive in ways that we normally hold them tight and say, I don't want to hear. Help us to hear what you have to say. What you have to say through what you did for us. In Jesus' name, that precious name, amen. So I can admit to you that my Easter message got hijacked. I had a different plan. I had a different direction I was going. I had an idea going until Thursday morning. Thursday morning when emergency vehicles were racing up the driveway next door, and one of the firemen of Shanahan came over and said, family would like you to come on over. Nanette has died. And I went on over to the house and had that moment that is surreal, where you're looking at a person who's not a person anymore. The tent is there, the container is there, but you know they're not there. They're not there. And I just kind of sat there and I thought about her for a moment, and I'm kind of going through thinking about what's happening with her in those moments as we're just kind of sitting there on vigil with her. And I had this realization that is never far away from me, but sometimes it's really stark. I have a lot of jobs, a lot of things I do. Some of them I love doing, few of them I can't stand doing, just like your job. But one of the jobs I have to do is to make sure that anyone who comes and puts themselves in a seat in this place knows without a shadow of doubt, beyond question, what will happen the moment their eyes close in death. You need to know that. Now, my job isn't to believe for you. You have to do that. But I would be doing you a great disservice if I didn't walk through with you the fact that the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. You don't have to hope it. You don't have to work for it. You can know that you have eternal life. And so as I've thought about this week, and it's really just gripped me, it will not let me go. As I've thought about this, I've wondered, what would cause a person to say not yet or not ever? What causes you to say, yeah, that's nice. I'm into Easter dinner, but forget all the resurrection stuff. I don't buy that. So as I was thinking through it, one of the things that came to my mind is, it has to do with this tradition, Easter eggs. I do Easter eggs at your house, color eggs. I would be perfectly honest. I don't remember the last time we colored an egg. You know, I work on Sundays, so I'm not often around for this thing. But in our house, we do the plastic egg thing. So better stuff comes in a plastic egg than an egg. Money, candy, all kinds of stuff comes in an egg. So, you know, we're kind of plastic egg people. But some of you are colored egg people, and you love making colored eggs. I made colored eggs as a kid. I'm amazed. Go and Google colored eggs. I mean, the things people are doing to color eggs, I wouldn't even break them. I mean, they're just too beautiful. Why in the world would you do that? Now, I remember coloring eggs as a kid, but I got to be perfectly honest. I don't ever remember eating one of my colored eggs. I don't. And maybe your kid's the same way. But so let's just play a game of let's pretend right now. Your kid is a huge egg lover. And so they just skip right by the candy this afternoon. They're like, Dad, I want my egg. Mom, I want to eat my eggs. And so they get out that basket, and they just start cracking into the eggs. They got the salt. They got the pepper. They're going at it. Egg number one, down. Number two, down. Number three, down. Number four, they crack it open, and this is what they find. That beautiful egg, that beautiful, gorgeous egg. And inside is this slimy black ooze. And they come up and they say, Dad, what's this? And you're like, whoa, you know, because now the house is filling with a beautiful aroma. And you're just like, oh, my word. And so your kid says, Dad, what do I do? And you go, well, how many eggs have you eaten? Well, I've eaten three. Fourth one won't kill you. Go ahead and eat it. Just slide that sucker down. Go ahead, do it, eat it, be a man, come on, be a tough girl, you can do it. You know, a little salmonella never killed anybody. Well, actually it did, but anyway, you know, come on now, we would never have our kid eat a rotten egg because they've had three others and it just kind of fits in the mix. But somehow we get the idea that we've got enough good eggs in our life, we've done enough good things in our life, that the one bad thing isn't going to matter. And let's face it, it's not just one bad thing, right? We got like a mixed basket, and we get the occasional good one, and we get a few more of these than we care to admit. Some of us honestly believe we're good enough. We're good enough. Why would God turn me away? I'm good enough. I'm going to take it off the screen. I know it's just grossing you out. You're not even looking anymore. You're like, I have the choice of the ugly guy or the ugly egg. You're just looking at the floor praying. So anyway, here's what the Bible says. We are all infected and impure with sin. Do you hear that? We're all infected. We all have this sin thing going, every one of us. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. I've had this happen before. I'm working on something outside. It's got that black grease on it. I'll rub it with the rag. And before you know it, I'm rubbing my hand with the same rag. And it's all over my hands. It's a mess. It's just all over the place. That's our sin. The best eggs we have are nothing but a greasy rag. Like autumn leaves, we will wither and fall. And our sins sweep us away like the wind. There's no such thing as good enough. There's just no such thing as good enough. It doesn't work that way when it comes to a relationship with God. So you give up on good enough and you say, okay, I get not good enough isn't it, but I'm better than most of the people I know. certainly that's got to count. I mean, God's got to populate heaven, and I know I'm in the upper 50th percent, you know, 50% or above. He'll take me. This will work. So we're going to play a little game. We're going to call it higher or lower. Going to feel a little bit like Price is Right this morning in church. Got a ladder over here. Vanna's going to be running up and down the ladder and putting some people on the ladder to kind of get an idea. We have Bob coming up here for safety. No, we do not have a harness, so Easter could be a lot of fun. All right, so
I've got life insurance, though. So
we're on our ladder, this is a moral ladder. God is at the very top of the ladder. You see that? You can't get higher than God in terms of he is absolute perfection. And we put Satan's in Brian's hand. We're actually going to put Satan under the leg of the ladder. I mean, you can't get lower, you can't get dirtier, you can't get more rotten than Satan. All right, so this is the moral scale. Good at the perfect at the top, horrible at the bottom. Help me to figure out where we're going to put these people. So if you were to put Hitler on that moral scale, where would you put him? Go ahead and shout it out. Higher or lower? Low, low, really low. Keep going. He's like almost touching Satan. I mean, he is down there. Bad, bad, bad news, right? Mother Teresa, higher or lower? Higher, higher. Want him to keep going? You want to stop? Tell him. What do you want? What? Higher? She can't touch God. She's not perfect, but yeah, she's pretty good.
Hey, you know what? Since I'm up here, I mean, I'm no Mother Teresa, but I am in rarefied air. It's Easter Sunday, so I'm going to take an Easter selfie here. Everybody smile.
Because vanity is not a sin, all right? So, all right, how about, we're going to put Bin Laden. He got to come down the ladder, doesn't he? Got to come down. Is he worse than Hitler? Some say yes. Some say no. Some say he's got to at least touch him.
Yeah.
So get him down there. Get him down there. Where are you going to put Billy Graham? High. Go up. Walk, walk, walk. Come on. I only got 15 minutes. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
I did not plan on working out today.
Like, you going to put her above or below? What do you think? Him up above
below?
Or below? Below, okay, all right,
where?
Good.
All right.
So, I mean, this is a pretty good scale you got going. Who's the next person? The person next to you. Higher or lower, where are you going to put them? Where are you going to put them?
Mine's Shelly, so.
You sound very confused, all right? You're going to put them somewhere in there, right? Just go ahead. Go ahead and lie. Put them up a little bit higher. There you go. Perfect. Okay, awesome. Now here's the question. You got this scale, you got the person next to you and everybody else. Where are you going to put you? Where? Yeah. Come down, little boy. Come down. You ain't no Mother Teresa. Yeah, give me you. Thank you. If you can't put you right next to God, you lose. God says, if you're going to get into heaven without my help, you got to be perfect. Completely perfect. You know what that means? Not one bad egg. Now, some of us aren't, you know, mass bad egg producers, but we've all got at least one. And we would admit that we all have certainly more than God, because God has never, ever, ever had a bad egg. So the Bible says that good enough isn't, you can't be good enough. And the Bible also says it has nothing at all to do with comparison. It has nothing to do with comparison. In fact, here's what the Bible says. No one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. That's what the Bible says about us. The Bible says we are not perfect. We're not there. So, good enough isn't good enough. Better than the other people in my life isn't good enough. I suspect that some of us kind of fall in this third camp. We're a lot like Thomas. I won't believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hands into the wounds in his side. You see, you're in a little tougher spot, because where you are is you're saying, when I have proof that God is real, that's when I'll believe. And I'm not talking proof like, oh, look, a spring daisy. I'm talking proof like, I want to see God's face. I want to touch God's hands. I want physical evidence that God is real. Until I get that, I will not believe. Or maybe you're buying that God is, but you're just not buying who people say he is. This whole idea that God is complete goodness, you look at the world around you and go, this world is not good. How can that God be good? And so you have a lot of struggles because you want to see him, you want to touch him, and you want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt exactly who he is and how he works. I had something happen a few months ago. It was kind of crazy. So we have a church cat. His name is Mr. Kitty. Youth group calls him Pete. I'm out here one day. I'm working around the church, and I look in the corner, and it had been a very, very, very cold week. And there was snow on the ground, and I look over in the corner by the church building, and there's this little, I couldn't figure it out, pile of fur, and there's Mr. Kitty. And he had been apparently pretty cold because he tried to burrow, so he dug a little hole next to the building, and he was nestled in there. And Mr. Kitty was quite dead. He was gone. I mean, it was sad because I love this cat. I'm not a cat person, but I'm telling you what. This cat is like a dog. He'd run along by your legs. I'd do work out in the yard. He'd just sit there and watch me. I mean, this cat has an amazing personality. Really cool cat. And now he's dead. And the kids love him. I'm like, how do you break the news that your church cat has died? No, my word. And so I can't leave him there. Next day's church. I don't want people seeing a dead Mr. Kitty. So I get the snow shovel. The ground is too frozen to bury him. So I take him across the parking lot, and I put him to the other side of the silt fence, because that's where we like to play. So anyway, he's over there, and he's now Mr. Kitty is over in his new resting spot. And a few days later, the neighbor who owns the cat leaves a note on Brian's car. We can't find our cat. I'm like, oh, now I get to go break the cat news to the neighbor. Great. Tell him that I found him dead and whatever. And so I go to get the cat's body, put it in a box, take it, and I go over, and the body is gone. I'm like, oh, man, now what do I do? How do I tell this person, by the way, I scooped him up and threw him over the silk fence, you know? Great. At least I didn't dumpster him or something like that, you know? So I'm feeling bad. I know I got to talk to him about this. Sunday morning comes, I'm sitting in the sound room, and Brian comes running in, and he says, Mr. Kitty is alive. And I'm like, stop it. Brian is known for cruel jokes. I mean, this is his MO. Forget top of the ladder. Well, you know, okay? So he's like, Mr. Kitty's alive. I'm like, just cut it out. It's not even funny. I love that cat. You know, I'm supposed to go outside and they have a picture of him or something like that. I go outside and I look, and I am not kidding. That cat is alive and well walking around. That cat had rigor mortis when I had him on the shovel going across the parking lot. And I know what you're thinking is I'm looking at this cat and I'm going, that is not Mr. Kitty. There's no way I saw the dead cat. There's no way that's Mr. Kitty. I'm looking at him. He's got the same personality. He's got the same markings. He's got the same everything. And to this day, when that cat comes walking around, I say, you're dead. You are not Mr. Kitty. Mr. Kitty is gone. Here's the thing, you know. Here's Thomas saying, if I could just touch him, if I could just see him, I'd believe. I've touched Mr. Kitty. I've seen Mr. Kitty, and I still don't believe it's Mr. Kitty. My eyes saw a dead cat. He was gone. It's over. Toast. History Channel. Dead meat. He's gone. And there he is walking around again. This is not one of those pastor made-up stories. Everything I have said is 100% factual. I am not kidding. Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into my wounds and sigh. Don't be faithless any longer. Just believe. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And you know what I think some of us say? Yeah, I'm still not sure. Even if we had physical evidence, we would still not believe. Why? Because it's about faith. It's about faith. It's about finally coming to a point of saying, evidence, proof, touching. That's not how I come into a relationship with God. By grace, you've been saved through faith. Not through, I have all the facts figured out. By grace, you've been saved through faith. In fact, Jesus goes on to give probably the most beautiful verse of the whole story. You believe me because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. That's our camp. We don't get the chance to see and touch Jesus. But we can know because of what's written in his word and because of what happens in our lives, we can know that there is a Jesus Christ. He's alive and he's well, and he wants to make a difference in your life. So you can't walk out of here and say, I didn't know. We all know. Now, what do you do about what you know? Two things. The folder that we have on the inside, we have something over here that just says prayer. No, the other side. You matter to God. And it talks about a relationship with God. We believe there is more to this life than life. God made us for a relationship with him, but our friendship was interrupted by sin. Sin is an attempt to make life work on our own, apart from God. The only way to resume this friendship is to deal with our sin. Here's the good news. Jesus paid for our sin. His death paid for our sin, so we wouldn't have to. To receive the gift of God's friendship, repentance and faith is required. We must acknowledge our sin and have faith in what Jesus did. The prayer below is an expression of that kind of faith. And then you see a short prayer listed here. These are not magic words. You don't have to say every one of these exactly the way they are in order to make sure that you have eternal life. You've got to sincerely pray the idea. God, I know I've sinned. I know I can't pay for my own sin. I know I have some good eggs, but I have a lot of rotten eggs. And there's nothing I can do about them on my own. I know I'm better than some people, but that's not good enough. I choose you. I choose you as the forgiver of my sin and the leader of my life. So later in this service, or maybe later on today, you're sitting on your couch or by the river, your favorite place, you might just take these words and sincerely express it. Because here's the thing, we want to make sure that you do have eternal life. The Bible says you can know you have eternal life. Why wait? Why wait? Why not just do that today? Talk to God with me. Father God in heaven, we make a lot of decisions in our life, but is there any more important decision, than the one that guarantees our eternal destiny? We were made for you. We were made to spend eternity with you. How sad it would be to miss the design of the Creator, to not spend eternity with you because we chose to do it of our own way, because we thought we were good enough, because we thought we were better than everybody else, because we thought we knew better than you. Give us the humility. Give us the faith to believe. In Jesus' name. Our servers are going to come right now. And they're going to collect the offering. We'd love, again, if you have that card, put it in that plate, but in the basket. But if you're new, first time, bring it to the door, because we do have that gift we want to give you. And while we're doing that, we have a few things we want to share with you. One of them is the next series that we're going to do. It starts next week. Kind of excited about this one. What is it, Bri?
American Idol. So, again, just because...
I will be singing. Are you excited?
The show's ending, so... those fans of the show decided that they wanted to keep that thing going. So, I don't get that.
A lot of people don't understand this show. That's okay. What we're going to be talking about, though, is not just a bunch of singers. We're talking about uniquely American idols. There are some things that we worship as Americans that even the rest of the world doesn't. Things that we decide to place on the altar of our life and say, this is my God. And we're going to do some idol smashing. We're going to spend some time talking about those gods that we tend to set up and prop up, and they need to not just be moved aside to make space for God, but they need to be taken off the mantle altogether. Only one person deserves that spot in the mantle of our lives. So we've got journey groups coming up. Spring session is like a week away, right?
Yeah, so the winter session just ended. If you were part of a group, you may have had your last session this past week, but we're jumping right back into it for spring groups. So if you weren't involved in one over the winter, go ahead and jump on. You can go to southfieldchurch.com and hit the Journey Groups tab, and it'll give you a lot more information than you'll find on your folder here today. But there's groups for everybody. Again, there's a group for women on Tuesday nights. There are two groups on Sunday nights, one for newcomers and one for the Gospel of John. And again, these groups, it's not like it's about building relationships. So, I mean, you're spending like an hour and a half with each other once a week for 7 or 8 weeks. So it's not a massive commitment. And I mean, think about the amount of time that you've probably watched Netflix over the last month. You can afford to jump into one of these groups. There are a lot of, again, really cool opportunities to get involved, one of them being a men's group that meets on Thursday morning.
Yeah, I love our men's group. So we have about 10, 12 guys that meet together every Thursday morning for exactly 1 hour. I mean, you can ask any of them. We leave at exactly 7:30. It doesn't matter if John Beaker is in the middle of the most profound thing he's ever said. It's like, cut, done, and we leave, okay? So anyway, and a lot of times what we we do. We're asking questions about life and having a chance to talk through them. So not too long ago, one of the questions was, what was your expectation of marriage? What did you expect going into it? That was a great conversation. What we most of us realized is we had no expectations, which is kind of sad. But, you know, I mean, it was a really good conversation. There's another one, too, called Outdoor Life. We're not just going to be camping from 6 to 7:30 on Thursday. We're actually coming over here. We're going to have a little meal. This is a family one, okay, so your family can get involved. And we're going to be doing work projects around the church for a little bit. Some of you whine and complain that your kid doesn't know how to work. We'll teach them. So we've got some things that are on par with, you know, the Egyptians moving stones. So we're gonna have a great time together. Bring your kid. We'll teach him how to work.
There are plenty of stones out in that yard.
Yeah, so there are. You're not kidding, Shannon. I'm potatoes everywhere. So day camp's coming.
Yeah, July 11th to the 14th. We have day camp. It's coming back. Really excited about it. And there are there's so much planning going on right now, and so many different ways to get involved. One of those ways is if you have a farm animal or an exotic animal, or you know a way to get a hold of one. Now, we're not taking, like, you know, kindergartners, because they don't count. Ultimately, if you have a resource to get one of these kinds of animals, contact Daisy Austin at theaustinzoo@comcast.net. And again, that can be one way you could get involved. Now, again, camp is going to be a really exciting thing. It's $60, and it'll meet from 9:30 to 3:30, again, July 11th to the 14th. So again, you want to be looking out for registration for that, because it's a really powerful thing for our church, and it's really exciting to have it back.
And there's no youth group tonight or Wednesday, taking a little spring break, but you're also taking a little spring break. Where are you headed?
Sure am. This afternoon, I'm going to be heading north of the border and doing some snowboarding with the Hoosiers up there, eating some Tim Hortons donuts, and enjoying some time with my future family.
Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. If last year he went on this trip, he was taking a ring with him, if you remember.
Yeah, so this year I won't be nearly as scared to fall or go through security or anything like that. So yeah, it'll be nice to enjoy.
So that'll be really cool. Well, good deal. All right. So hopefully you're filled in. One thing I want to tell you about before, you guys want to come now? Come on up now. Team's going to assemble. We're going to sing a song as we close. But we've been assembling an office back here in our sound room and everything else, and trying to figure out that space. And one of the things we were looking at was purchasing a new copier and printer. And so copier guy came out, and he kind of goes through his whole thing in terms of what a great company they are, what their great service they are, shows me their copies, all this pretty stuff. You know, it's just like, wow, 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 oh my goodness, best copier in the history of earth. I mean, going through the whole thing. And he comes to that conversation, what does he say? So you ready to buy one? And I said, nope. I'm not ready to make that kind of commitment. I mean, come on. Let me breathe. And he's called a couple times since. You ready? And nope. I'm not there yet. Buying a copier is a big decision. Putting your life in the hands of God is the most important decision you'll ever make. And some of you may not be ready to do that right now. And we understand that. We understand that. And so one of the things we want to do is, you're leaving today, if you're still thinking about this, we have a booklet for you. I'll have them. Just ask me, say, hey, I want to know more. I want to know more. And I won't stop you there and have a conversation. I'll just hand it to you, okay? But we acknowledge that, you know, you need time to think about it. Having said that, Nanette was sitting here last week, and she'll be right here Tuesday morning for her funeral. You have no guarantees of another breath. So I guess I'd have to ask you, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Choose him. Believe. Please believe.
Would you please stand as we sing our last song together today?
Know that you are home. to our return. And all who fear and worry, and all who pray will not be alone. We know that you are home. And all will sing out hallelujah, and we will cry out hallelujah, and all will sing out hallelujah, and we will cry out hallelujah. Go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses. He is God. Child, go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses. He is God. Child, go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it.
Let's make a deal. 100 years from now, we'll all be dead. Oh, cheerful. So my Easter service, a guy climbed a ladder. Someone else talked about a dead cat and told me I'd be dead. Great. 100 years from now, we'll be dead. And today was choir practice. Both services, man, you guys sang your hearts out. It was beautiful. It's beautiful. And we get to worship God forever. We just get to sing to him and love being with him forever. So, March 27th, 21:16. Dana will reserve the room. And we'll find our spot in heaven. And we will face to face, eye to eye, sing to Jesus. Okay? Let's do that. Let's do that. But it's not a free pass. You got to get in. You got to talk to him. You got to ask him for forgiveness of that sin. It doesn't just go away. By faith, you got to trust in Jesus as the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life. So, again, you can ask for one of those at the door. I'll give it to you. Okay? Not going to stop you. You might want a further conversation. If you do, let me make it easy for you. Do you know where you are today? Church name? Southfield Church. Good job. All right. So, just checking. If anybody said grace, I'd be like, woo! How you doing? Southfield Church. Put a .com at the end. Put a Dennis at the beginning. Dennis@southfieldchurch.com. Easy to remember. If you spell my name backward, it's sinned, okay? So, don't put send. Put Dennis, all right? Just got that in your head. Dennis@southfieldchurch.com. And just email me and say, I want to talk. And we'll set up a time to be able to have a conversation. This is so much more important than buying a copier or anything you've ever done in your life. So, please, have the conversation. I am so glad that you invested this hour today with us. Thank you for being here. Let me pray one more time. Now, God in heaven, as we walk away, let us not forget. Let us not leave you here. Let us take you, Jesus, everywhere we go. We love you again. Oh, my goodness, we love you. Thank you for this eternal life and fresh start that you've given us. Thank you for dying for us. You are so good. Amen.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea.